Several of you will not have met Grandma Maisie, so I cobbled together a few pictures of her, which I am going to share now. Welcome, everybody, to our Zoom call, our annual Yorkshire for Esther Marker Bat Avraham. I wish a long life to Mum and Auntie Susan. Our grandma was born and raised in Liverpool and moved to Leeds shortly after getting married, where she lived the rest of her life. She was a fan of Shirley Bassey and Robbie Williams, and Take That, Mick Hucknall, classical music, and loads more. She read the newspapers every day, and whatever she was doing, she always exuded loads of positive energy. She was also a huge fan of her six grandsons, all of whom were her favorite, just some more than others. She loved her friends, her regular card games, and she loved winning card games and any form of Jewish gathering. Indeed, she was a great entertainer with an endless supply of amazing stories. Her main passion was her family, not only bringing up her family and keeping us all together as a united force, but instilling in all of us very strong Jewish values that we all still carry with us. Her legacy speaks for itself. Her great-grandchildren are continuing in her footsteps. Already, several have completed service in the army or Shirut Lumi here in Israel, and there are several more in the pipeline. And now we have the beginning of the next generation over in the UK. So thank you, everybody, for joining us to honor her memory by learning Torah with us on the eve of our most holy day, Yom Kippur. And I'm going to unmute Rabbi Bravender. And I'm delighted to thank Rabbi Bravender for once again joining us, and also to say Baruch Rofei Cholim. With God's help, we've returned to our Chavrusa this Elul, as Rabbi Bravender continues to recover from what we would call in England a dodgy shoulder. So I'm going to share the source sheet, unmute myself, and Rabbi Bravender, it is over to you.
Good evening. It's actually it's a pleasure for me to do this shiur because it's something that I feel that I need. We'll get there. Something I feel that I need. I mean, every year Yom Kippur creates a lot of excitement. How do you do this, or where you're going to go, and where you're going to listen to the tefillot, and which shaliach tzibur is better than the other shaliach tzibur? I mean, it becomes a great issue more than any other day of the year, naturally, and it's a day that offers us the best result that we could imagine. We are who we are, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be accepting of us. Wow, that's really something. That is really something. But every year I find myself being drawn back to the Rambam. You know, the Rambam, he wrote this book, actually a compilation of 14 books, and the Rambam in his day was the subject of controversy. Not everybody liked what the Rambam had done, which was, in fact, by his own admission, the Rambam created a situation where you wouldn't have to learn Gemara. Imagine that. You wouldn't have to learn the Torah the way it was generally learned. You could take the Rambam, And you see, it's a kind of a short form of a large subject. Every subject is covered by the Rambam. And if you study the Rambam, I guess the idea is that you don't have to learn the Gemara. You don't have to learn the Bavli. You don't have to learn the Yerushalmi. The Rambam did away with that, in fact. And so there was a lot of opposition. You know, you may have noticed that people who try to do good new things, good new things, you know, they often generate opposition. You didn't think that the Rambam would generate opposition after all. The Rambam is the Rambam, but he did. He did generate opposition. There were people who were willing, and who actually accomplished it, to burn the books of the Rambam as a sign. We're burning the books of the Rambam because enough is enough. We don't want these newfangled ideas. We don't want things that didn't pre-exist. We want to keep learning in the same way that we used to learn, the way that we were used to participating. And so it came to the Ramban. Came to the Ramban, who lived about 200 years after the Rambam died, but the Ramban in Spain was approached with this idea. He said, let's burn the books of the Rambam. Let's do away with it. Let's put the Rambam into Cheirim. Let's put the Rambam into Cheirim. Can you imagine how we're sitting here today? The Rambam was here with us, and we could decide to put the Rambam into Cheirim. I mean, it's like, sounds crazy, but that was the idea. When they came to the Ramban as the representative, he was the leading authority in his day. He was the person who knew the Torah best, and they needed him to join in this project. And the Ramban refused. He said no. So they said, well, at least let's get rid of the first of the 14 books. The first of the 14 books is called Sefer Abada, the book of knowing, knowing about things, knowing about the world, knowing about God, knowing about philosophy. All of that is in the first book. So they said to the Ramban, let's get rid of the first book. Okay, we'll leave the rest of it, but we'll get rid of the first book. Ramban said, no, we can't do that. They said, what do you mean? You yourself, the Ramban, disagree with the Rambam and his ideas about philosophy. So the Ramban said, no, you can't get rid of the first of the 14 books, even though it's full of philosophy that I disagree with. That's what the Ramban said. So they said, then why? Why is it that we can't at least get rid of, put into Cheirim, the first of the 14 books of the Rambam's work? So Ramban said, very simple. If you got rid of the first of the 14 books of the Yad HaChazaka that the Rambam compiled, you get rid of Hilchot Tshuva. Hilchot Tshuva was the last part of the first book of the 14 books of the Rambam. And the Ramban said, I don't think I, the Ramban, could get along without the first, the last of the end of the first of the 14 books of the Rambam, Hilchot Tshuva. It's such a wonderful compilation. It's such an important thing that we have in hand. We can't give it up. And the project of putting the Rambam's books into Cheirim was rejected, probably because of this story that I told you by the Ramban. So we're going to look at Hilchot Tshuva. Look at the beginning of Hilchot Tshuva, at least. That section that the Ramban said, we can't really do without. And not because the Ramban was the only one who wrote Hilchot Tshuva. There were others, right? Gaonim and and the Meiri. I mean, they wrote books called Hilchot Tshuva. But at least according to the Ramban, nobody did it as clearly and effortlessly and profoundly as the Rambam. So you remember the way the Rambam does it, the way the Rambam does it. You look at the sheet now. And now I want to just mention that this shir is given Lui Nishmat in order to help the soul of Esther Malka Bat Abraham Aleha HaShalom, in order to give her, the Hasidim say, give her an aliyah. Give her an aliyah. Look, everybody could use a little bit push in the Olam Haba, in the next world where they find themselves. But they're always looking to get a little bit higher and a little bit higher. And that's why we give these Sheirim in Torah. So the Rambam, in his sort of introduction to each topic, tells us what halacha is going to talk about. And he said, Hilchot Tshuva, if you look at the Sheir, I don't think I have a pointer. Maybe I do. Have to be off. All right. Anyway, I must have a pointer up here. I'm not used to using Zoom. But in any event, Hilchot Tshuva, that's the name of this section. And the Rambam says, summarizes what he's going to talk about. He says, Mitzvat Aseh Achat. There's one positive commandment that I'm going to talk about. What do you think that positive commandment is? He says, V'hushi Yeshua Chotei Michetto. Now, those of you who know Hebrew will understand exactly what the problem is. Who Sheyashuv, he should be involved in tshuva, hachotei, the sinner, Sheyashuv mechet o lifnei Hashem, right? That somehow he should do tshuva. I would say that's a good translation, lifnei Hashem, and then v'yitvadeh. V'yitvadeh means to confess. What does confession have to do with anything? I mean, it doesn't sound Jewish. What is v'yitvadeh? Why does the Rambam want me to confess? So you could say, well, I mean, the Torah wants me to confess. It's written there somewhere. Yes, that's true. That the Torah wants me to confess, but I could still ask you, why does the Torah want me to confess? And why does the Rambam include it? Including that original statement. Ubeur mitzvah zo v'ikarim ha-nigrarim ima, and biur, explaining this mitzvah v'ikarim, and the principles ha-nigrarim that are schlepped along. Schlepped is a word. Ima, with it, there's tshuva, and there are things that connect to tshuva. V'glala, Prakim Elu, because of the tshuva, and I'm going to explain all of this in the following chapters. And there are 10 chapters in Ilchot Tshuva, but we're going to only look at chapter number 1. So I already told you that there is a kind of a question, and that question has to do with the Yitvadeh. Why does the Torah want us to confess? What's the big deal? Why isn't it good enough to do tshuva? Tshuva doesn't mean confess. I don't have to say. And we know that this idea of confession on Yom HaKippurim is very intense and very much part of the day, because again and again, we confess. We confess either the short confession, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu. I could sing it. Ashamnu, Bagadnu, alphabetical, right? Ashamnu, Aleph, Bagadnu, Bet, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gaalu, Dibarnu, Dofi. They're all, it's like everything. I confess to everything. Yeah, that certainly kind of makes confession into a strange kind of mitzvah. Rambam says mitzvah say achat is one positive commandment. Sheyeshuva chotei bichetto lifnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. He has to confess. So we confess, but we don't confess to what we did. We confess to everything in the world. Al chet shechatano lifanecha be. We say that again and again and again. What's the point? What's the point? If that's confession, then it doesn't seem to be very, very problematic. Yitvadeh. So this is the introduction. And from the introduction, we have that question immediately. Why vidui? Why vidui? Then we start the first halacha in the first section, Perek Aleph. The Rambam says, Kol mitzvot shebatorah ben asei ben lo taseh. We're talking about mitzvot in the Torah, things that God has commanded us to do. Ben asei ben lo taseh, whether positive commandment or negative commandment, if our adam alachat mehen, if a person denied or stumbled across one of them, bein bizadon bein bishkaga, whether he did it on purpose or he did it by accident, she has said tshuva. So I think, I'll tell you, but I mean, I don't mean to say that I'm the first one who thought it. I mean, that Milchas Chinuch thought it. Great scholars thought it, but it seems to me that it's correct. What are the words, Kishaya said tshuva? What are the words? You see the words of the second line, Yaseh Tshuva. Yaseh Tshuva means when he does Tshuva. When he does Tshuva. It doesn't say he is commanded to do Tshuva. It just says, Kisheh Yaseh Tshuva V'yashuv Micheto, as though this is the most normal thing you could imagine. Absolutely normal for a person to do Tshuva. Because, look, let's say a person is connected to the Torah and you want to do the mitzvot. You want to live that way. It's not like, you know, so and then you realize that you did something wrong. You realize you did something wrong. So, of course you want to do tshuva. Of course you want to tshuva. But then the Rambam says, yaseh tshuva, kisha yaseh tshuva, because he's going to do tshuva. You don't need to be commanded to do tshuva. That's what the Rambam is saying. V'yashuv micheto chayav lehitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu. Chayav lehitvadot. And then he quotes a pasuk, shenemar ish o isha ki yasu v'gomer v'itvadu et chatatam asher asu ze vidui dvarim. So the Rambam says there's a pasuk in the Torah. A pasuk in the Torah, which you could check out if you have a chance. The pasuk in the Torah, and the pasuk says, "Confess, itvadu et chatatam." You have to confess. It doesn't say you have to do tshuva. It says when you do tshuva, you have to do vidui. What do you mean when you do tshuva? When you do tshuva, because that's what everybody's obviously going to do. Itvadu et chatatam asher asu ze vidui dvarim, and then the Rambam bangs it home, in case you didn't understand, vidui, ze, mitzvat, asei. Vidui is a positive command. He doesn't say that about tshuva. He doesn't say tshuva is a mitzvat, asei. He only says that vidui is a mitzvat, asei. And then the rest of this, he talks about what vidui is, how vidui is, but we want to skip. We want to skip to the line that begins with Zeh. Zeh, I don't know if you can see me doing this. Zeh. Zeh. Kol ha-marbe litvadot u-marich binyan zeh, harei zeh mishubach. Look, the Rambam doesn't say harei zeh mishubach on many things. Hareza Mishubach, you know, the Rambam says that if you're telling the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach, you should just keep at it. Tell the story again and again. Don't limit yourself to the Haggadah that you happen to have. In America, it was sent to you by Manischewitz soup or something. But you have to tell the story. And the more you tell, the more it is called Mishubach. So here he says, "Kol hamar belit vadot." Not only is tshuva ignored and vidui part of the main part of the day, but the more you are mitvadeh umarich binyan zeh harei ze mishubach. How do we do it? Al chei chechatano lefanecha beones umiratzon. I don't know ones. I don't know rats. I don't know what they're talking about. What's it got to do with me? What's it got to do with me? That's vidui. Vidui is confession. I confess to everything in sight. Why do I confess to everything in sight? Why do I confess to everything in sight? The Rambam then goes on. The Rambam then goes on and says, you look at the Halacha Bet. Andrew, Halacha Bet, thank you. Sa'ir Mishtaleach. Sa'ir Mishtaleach, we don't have time for it, but you know that the Sa'ir Mishtaleach, that animal that was sent out to the desert on Yom HaKippurim with the transgressions of Am Yisrael attached to them, that was the way it was done when there was a Beit HaMikdash. That's the Seir Meshtalech, and the Rambam says, Mechaper al kol averot shebatorah kalot v'chamurot. Wow, the Seir Meshtalech is really terrific because I think what the Seir Meshtalech is, we don't always know what we did wrong. Or worse than that, we think we did something that was wrong, but we thought it was right. The other people say, "I had to do it. I had to do it. It was something so important." But it's so important that I was definitely right in doing it. So the people who think that they didn't do anything wrong, even though they admit they did it, the people who think that, well, they would have done better, but they didn't think it was such a bad thing to do. He says, that's a Sa'ir Mishtalech, takes care of that, takes care of things that you're not willing to confess to. So we have these two ideas. One idea is you confess to everything, because I don't know really who I am. I don't know what I did. I didn't know what I have to confess to. And Sa'ir Mishtalech is the same idea, but from the other end, I get rid of all of my avonot through the Sa'ir Mishtalech. We look at now in Halacha Gimel. Okay, so Halacha Bet was that tshuva, vidui, Sa'ir Mishtalech, they're all part of the same setup. They all go together. They all go together. So that means that you need the Beit HaMikdash. You need the Beit HaMikdash in order to do tshuva. I mean, you do tshuva, you do what you could do, but look, you know you're going to miss out on a few things. But you know that you're not going to kind of admit that you are that way, that you thought about that, that you spoke Lashon Hara then. Adarabo, as they say, you're going to say you did the right thing. It was important that everybody should know. It was important that the spirit of things should be known to the world. So you need the Beit HaMikdash and you need the Sa'ir Mishtalech. So the Rambam goes on and says, "Bismana zeh, she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayam, ve'ein lanu mizbeach kapara, ein sham ela tshuva." The only thing you have today, Bismana zeh, right, she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayam, you haven't got a Beit HaMikdash. You haven't got a Beit HaMikdash, so you can't give a korban olah every day. The korban tamid You can't give the korban of tamid. So what do? We don't give it. We don't give it. But the korban tamid doesn't seem to be absolutely necessary for my existence. But if tshuva means I can't really do it, I'm too convinced about myself that I'm a great person. I'm too convinced about myself that I don't do anybody else harm. I'm not willing to reconsider who I am because I'm perfect, aren't I? So Bizman HaMikdash Kayam, I'm losing out because the Beit HaMikdash takes care of all those things that I'm not willing to take care on my own. I'm not willing. I'm not ready. I'm not able, the Rambam says, to be brutally honest with myself, which is what Yom HaKippurim is about. Yes, you have to fast. Yes, you don't have to wear shoes. But that's not what it's about. What it's about, what Yom HaKippurim is about, is what most people is the road less traveled. For sure. Bizman hazeh she'en beit hamikdash kayam. So you can't do that. Ve'ein lanu mizbach kapara. Can't do that. Ain't sham ela tshuva. Why is there tshuva? This tshuva is my natural reaction. I'm willing to admit that I'm not perfect. That's like, you know, you could even be imperfect and friendly. Ein sham ela tshuva. So I could do tshuva. I could do tshuva. So the Rambam has this idea that doing tshuva kind of expands your relationship to yourself. That's what tshuva is. Who are you? Who are you? The Rambam says, and Rav Nachman of Bratslav, you have to remember, Rav Nachman of Bratslav said this, that tshuva, I mean, the word tshuva implies motion. Lashuv, lachzor, lavo, im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, tshuva is a that which changes you, you somehow remind yourself that taking a stand against the Torah, even on a small matter, even something that doesn't really affect the great picture in the world, even that little thing, Rav Nachman says, changes your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch. So the V said, you know, let's say somebody thought, we shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. We'll talk about, I'll use that as an example. We shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. So I talk Lashon Hara. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I talk Lashon Hara. So Rav Nachman said, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. In order to do tshuva, you have to recognize the enormity of the transgression. Every transgression has an enormity to it because they all represent the will of HaKadosh Baruch. So if you're denying the will of HaKadosh Baruch, even though you did tshuva, even though you did tshuva, you did it, but you're kind of unhappy. You're unhappy with the will of HaKadosh Baruch. You got to get closer and closer. So you get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Suddenly that transgression is like bigger than you thought it was. Because that's what God wants. Like, my goodness. So the tshuva produces a new relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that new relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what we call tshuva. It's not just compensation for something, but it's a new reality. It's a new reality. And if you do tshuva, all of a sudden you realize that the transgression that you were talking about, that transgression is a lot bigger than you thought it was. It's a lot worse than you thought it was. You saw it and you thought, oh, you know, you spoke Lashon Hara. But by the time you finish doing tshuva, you're shaking because you didn't realize how terrible that was. It affected your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam says, Ein lanu ela tshuva. We have to put all of it into tshuva. The Chachomim said, Al cheitzech atanu lefanecha, we won't just do vidui. We won't just do vidui for what we are chayav, but we'll do vidui for everything. Because every single transgression, even if we didn't do it, we might have had a thought in our minds, not so terrible. Okay. So he did it. That's also transgression. And then Rav Nachman says, because tshuva brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the avera, the transgression, suddenly seems much more powerful and important. And so you have to do tshuva again. And Rav Nachman called that tshuva la tshuva, which could mean you have to do tshuva, what you thought about earlier. It wasn't good. So I wish you all Chag Gemar Chatima Tova. I hope that it's something that is meaningful to us, to all of us. And look, it's like a bracha that we have, that we can immediately build a sukkah, be kind of, live a certain kind of life, like make a statement that everybody can understand. That we're the people of the Sukkot. We're the people of the Sukkot. All the best. Gemar Chatima Tova. Be well.
Thank you, Rav Romana, for coming along. Gemar Chatima Tova.
What's that?
I said, thank you very much for coming along and giving the shiur. Gemar Chatima Tova.
Well done, Andrew.
Gemar Chatima Tova to everybody.
Gemar Chatima Tova.